We're joined by Bruce Campbell, who's a Canadian author who wrote a book about the 2013 oil train explosion in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. Obviously, the oil bomb trains have been a big issue here in the Capital District with the Port of Albany. Bruce is going to be speaking next Wednesday, the 20th, at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 85 Chestnut Street in Albany. Say the Pine Bush dinner, normal routine. You can join him for dinner at 6, or you can come for free to listen to Bruce and his presentation at 7. So, Bruce, maybe for people who are not familiar with this particular rail disaster, can you give them a little bit of the background?
Yeah, I can. It's nice to be with you, Mark, and I'm looking forward to being in Albany. This happened in the summer of 2013. It was a train that was carrying 72 cars laden with oil from the Bakken region in North Dakota, so Bakken Shale. So I imagine a lot of Bakken Shale still goes through your area. It was misclassified as low volatility. It was very high volatility, judging from what happened. It was bought by a refinery on the east coast of Canada, New Brunswick, and so it was about a 2,500 mile journey. It went through the U.S. It came into Canada from Detroit and into Windsor. Went to Montreal. Was picked up by a short line railway called Montreal, Maine and Atlantic, owned by a Chicago entrepreneur named Ed Burkhart. And it was that train in the early morning of July 6, 2013, it was a runaway train, and I can go into the details, but it was a runaway train that derailed in the middle of town, exploded, and it was, it was a summer, balmy summer night. There were still people partying. It killed 47 people. And multiple explosions, some of which reached about a 16th of Hiroshima. So it was a huge, huge set of explosions. It eviscerated the town center, spilled 6 million liters of Bakken crude, which is the largest land-based spill in North America. And so roughly the details of in short, the details of what happened. Of course, my book goes into the whole period beforehand, leading up to and aftermath and the current situation.
So what led you to actually write the book?
Well, that's interesting. I watched on TV and YouTube like millions of other people, and I just couldn't believe that this was happening so close to home on the Canadian main border. And but as I listened to the coverage, and I mean, my background is policy research, and I had researched deregulation, privatization, austerity issues for a long time, and I saw the elements of that emerging as I listened to the debate, and I thought I could write about it. And it was summer, and I was on vacation. I had time to spend, actually. And so when I got back to work, I learned that my close colleague lost 3 members of her extended family in that disaster. So it kind of put a whole new dimension to it. So I actually started writing about it in 2013. I wrote actually 3 reports for the organization where I was executive director. And then I was encouraged to actually culminate my analysis in a book. And then that book was released in the fall. And that's the book I'm going to talk about.
And so you were actually is an adjunct professor at York University, Faculty of Environmental Studies, and you mentioned you were executive director of the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives. So why is this situation, this accident, relative to the present situation both in Canada and the United States?
Well, I mean, I trace a long trajectory of the erosion and removal of safety protections and the changing power relationship between the regulator and the regulated industry to the point that, you know, that it was a kind of a Russian roulette situation. You had a weak and dysfunctional regulator. You had an increasingly powerful industry. You had something called regulatory capture, or a cozy relationship. And, you know, so then you had this booming situation of oil by rail, which began in 2009, was hitting its peak in 2013. Whether it was from Alberta, whether it was from Bakken, so all of that happened. And then there was a kind of a panic on both sides of the border by the regulator. Here's the regulator that, you know, that's supposed to be, you know, first and foremost protecting its citizens, whether south of the border or north of the border. And this had happened. And so there was a big rush to demonstrate that they had learned the lessons, taken safety into account. And then it was kind of all done. And this was like, we're going on 6 years now. And after that initial period, memories fade. People think, you know, everything's been done, but everything hasn't been done. And what my analysis has shown is that there are some major safety risks, major safety gaps that still exist. They exist on both sides of the border, and that, you know, that the window of history is still open for a repeat. And this at a time when oil by rail is again at record levels, oil by rail volumes, a lot of it's, it's going east, it's going south to the Gulf, it's going to the Midwest. Export volumes from Canada are at, you know, over 350,000 barrels per day. It could get as much with the Alberta government wanting to increase oil by rail by another 120. Yep.
We only have about 2 minutes left, believe it or not. I know you're going to be speaking next Wednesday at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, Save the Pine Bush Dinner, 85 Chestnut Street. So you sort of indicate that, you know, things haven't changed, safety lessons have not been learned, that these trains remain a problem. And I know one of our local friends here at the radio station, former person worked on Conrail. So the whole issue that they only had one engineer or one staff person on this particular train?
No, and that's and I tell the story of how that happened. Here's this delinquent railway. It was the only railway that got permission to run its trains by a single operator, and this this guy, locomotive engineer, was put in an impossible situation. The deck was stacked against him, and I go through all of the conditions that kind of mitigated against him that were present that evening. But it is, right after, as sort of admitting it's like it had screwed up. It prohibited single person trains, but it's still doing it in Maine, and there's still a big push on at the federal level in the U.S. To put in place single person train provisions, and so there's that's kind of a major, I think, a major danger if that is allowed to happen. Some states have prevented it, but most haven't. And that's, that's a real danger on your side of the border.
Well, we've been talking about Bruce Campbell's new book, The Lack Mechanic, Rail Disaster, Public Betrayal, Justice Denied. Bruce, if people want more information, find your book, you get a website they can check out.
No, but I don't have my own website, but they can go to the publisher. It's James Lorimer and Company, and they can get access to the book. I think the book is certainly available online in possibly at local independent bookstores. I'm not sure, but it is available.
Okay, and people can join them next Wednesday, the 20th, dinner at 6, lecture at 7, Save the Pine Bush, Westminster Presbyterian Church in Albany. We've been talking to Bruce Campbell, and this is Mark Dunley for WOOC.